Coming up next, the wild and crazy Haas Outdoors.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It is time for the Haas Outdoors, bringing you the news, how-to tips, where to travel, information on events, making fun of Yellowstone tourists, rambling on things don't make any sense, and just being a plain goofball. Here is your host, Charles Haas.
Good morning, Montana.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Get your lazy butts out of bed. Good morning to you. Wakey, wakey. It is 10:30 a.m. on this wonderful Monday morning. But for you ranchers, another wonderful day in Moo Moo Land. Well, Frida's missing in action this week, so I guess I'll be doing the show all by my poor lonesome self.
Better late than never.
Oh, Frida's here. I didn't know you was here.
Been here. I've been standing here.
You was behind me, weren't you?
Yes.
Well, good thing I didn't talk bad about you.
You know better.
No, I don't.
Well, you should.
So, Frida, how was your week so far?
Oh, my God. I'm just worn out. It's been a long, long week.
Yeah, with me, I had sinus issues all week.
Well, I'm getting old. Watching little kids every day, all the time. It gets a little bit on you when you turn my age. I love my grandkids. It's a little bit exhausting, that's all.
Well, wait till you get my age.
No.
Well, okay. Why not?
I'm hoping I don't live that long.
Well.
I'm kidding. Come on now.
Well, this week's topic, we're going to talk about wilderness survival.
Yippee!
Oh, yeah. That's exciting.
Yay!
Now, wilderness survival is not for everybody.
Oh, I could survive in the wilderness. Believe that. I know what you can eat, what you can't eat. I know how to build a fire. I know how to do all that. So, and I can make my own freaking Christian pole out of things that not normally people could use.
Like what?
Like strings off your clothing.
But how would you hold your pants up if you did that?
I wouldn't care. I'd rather no pants. I'd rather eat than have pants.
We're going to have to go hiking together sometime.
Don't push it, pal.
You know, I've seen people over the years, they think they can go out in the woods and survive. They're like, Macho Man, I'm going to go out in the woods and live the rest of my life.
And you never see them or hear from them ever again because they come someone's meal in the middle of the night.
Yeah, like...
Someone, that'd be really foul. Well, you never know. There's a bunch of those weirdos out there that eat people, you know. Have you ever seen The End of the Road or Wrong Turn or any of those movies? Or The Hills Have Eyes? I mean, come on now.
The Wrong Turn was directed towards West Virginia, too, on top of that.
Scary as heck. I believe that. They had, like, three eyes, and it wasn't one of those eyes that they're supposed to be there. Not like you got your oracle or something. It's like a weirdo eye.
That is true. That definitely is true.
It's like an inbred eyeball.
Now, the most important thing out in the wilderness is the shelter.
Yes, there are many different kinds you can build that are really easy when you're out in the wilderness.
Yeah, such as the lean-to, which is the easiest one of all.
Yeah, three sticks and the rest you just add on the top.
Like Douglas fir limbs. And anything else you can find to make the shelter. Now, one of the most important thing is find out which direction the wind blows. Because I have before made a lean-to and suffered all night long because the wind was blowing inside the lean-to and it was cold.
Yeah, so you're going to want to figure out which way the wind's blowing and have that facing, the back of it facing the wind. So it keeps it off of you.
That is true.
That is the whole reason you build one of those things, is to keep the wind and the weather off you.
Yes. Sometimes you may have a little bit trouble with the water.
If it's raining. If it's raining, definitely.
I've had trouble with that before. Because, you know, back home we have oak, hickory, and all those other kind of branches that has leaves on them, which is makes it more easier to keep the water out.
So you use moss. I mean, you can find that and use it as a filler. You know, you get the limbs that don't have leaves in some areas. You can use moss to fill that up.
Yeah, that is true. I've actually done that before myself.
It works really good, actually.
Yes, it does.
And moss absorbs moisture, so it'll keep it out, you know.
Another one, fun shelter to build is the snow shelter.
You know, I believe it probably does work. I mean, there are communities that live in igloos made out of ice and snow, so I suppose it could be done. They have fires in them and everything.
I've actually done that before also. I made shelters for out of snow and actually stayed a couple of nights in them.
Wow, that's admirable. I couldn't do it.
Well, what happened is when you're inside the shelter, your body temperature kind of freezes up the walls, and it makes like an insulation.
I could see where that would do that, yeah.
And you make a little tiny hole for a vent, and you can put a candle or where you're on your cooking outfit there.
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't melt. That's a good idea.
No, it also, if you do a candle, it will take the oxygen out of the air, too.
Oh, yeah, well, carbon monoxide, you know.
We'll be right back after this wonderful message.
Ta-da!
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forest.
Welcome back to Haas Outdoors. We're having a discussion about wilderness survival.
Yep, which I know very little about, but enough to survive, I suppose. I've done it before. I've camped by myself for like 3 days.
Up in 3 days, that's all?
In Greenwater. It's in Washington State towards Crystal Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place. I used to go there we had a lot of high school weekend and like 4th of July, Memorial Day, first weekend of August and Labor Day parties out there. Like mass people in this huge area, all from school.
Well, I used to go out to Wilderness State 2 weeks at a time by myself.
You're a dude.
Yeah, a wonderful dude too.
You're an acquired taste.
Hey, now.
It's not our fault people don't have good taste, huh?
Oh, yeah. I got very good taste. Just ask my last girlfriend.
Well, she's your ex. There's a reason for that.
The second most important thing on your list is food foraging.
Foraging. Is that like gathering nuts and berries and bark and roots and stuff like that?
Yeah, gathering your own food.
Right.
You go out and forage. That means that's where you go out there and look for it.
Ah, I see.
Like, you know, going fishing with your improvised fishing rods.
Yeah. I've done that before, actually. I've made fishing things that actually worked. So, I know how that goes.
I've made my own fishing spears before.
Cool.
The ones that kind of are in the handbooks. I made the skewer hooks before.
Oh, yeah. I know what those are.
It's a little twig. You put on the end of your line, use as a hook, and you mount it vertically with a nightcrawler or whatever you want to use for bait. And when the fish grabs it, it will go horizontally and will be stuck in their mouth.
That's pretty smart, man.
Yeah, I've actually used those before.
Just, they don't look like they work, but they do, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They look really what would you call that? When you're, like caveman-ish.
Caveman-ish, you know? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
See, if I wasn't wearing a leopard skin, and I wasn't going around yonder, boonga, boonga, bunga.
Thank God I wasn't there to see that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a pretty sight if I did.
It'd be like off the movie The Croods.
I'll tell you, one tool I really love to build is the digging stick.
The digging stick. For like when you have to go doo-doo.
Well, that too. What that is you get a stick and have the sharp end or a flat end or whatever you want to use, and you stick it in the fire. Not all the way, but just enough to get it black.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does, it hardens up the woods, and you use it to dig with.
Okay. For what? What are you digging for?
Roots and your latrine, like you was mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes. The bathroom that you dig a hole and do your thing and bury it.
That is true. Now, let's get back to the fishing subject. Have you ever caught any fish with your hands?
No. No, I have not. Yeah, once, and it was because it was spawning, and it was like a salmon, so it was like dying or whatever, so I could catch it. But I was only like 11, I think. But, you know, we didn't get to keep them because they were rotten. You can't eat them. It's toxic, you know.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, like, if you're out in the wilderness and...
No, I've never caught a fish alive that I could eat with my hands, no.
I've done that before, and that's crazy. I haven't done it for years, so I'm probably a little rusty right now.
That's cool. I don't understand why they do their hands. Like those big old catfish, they use their arm.
No.
Yeah, that is crazy. They're almost as big as you are. They're huge fish.
The arm or the fish?
Both.
There was this one time I was working on a horse ranch down near Livingston, mm-hmm. and we got in a big conversation about wilderness survival during one of our lunch breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the ranch foreman always liked to give me a hard time about everything.
Yeah.
He said, "You can't catch a trout with your hands." I said, "Yes, I can." He said, "Oh, yeah, right." And they all started laughing at me and poking fun of it. And we were sitting right beside an irrigation ditch. I looked down. There was a trout, must have been like 16 inches long.
Wow.
Or 14 to 16 inches. And I slowly put my hands down while I was still talking to him about catching fish with my hand. He said, "You can't do that." I scooped that trout right by the water and hit him upside the head with it, and I said, "Any questions?" He looked at me and said, "Oh my, you can actually catch them with your hands." I said, "I told you I can."
Well, there you go. That was a godsend.
Made him a believer.
In a irrigation ditch, there's a big old trout, so that was crazy. Good for you.
The trout comes out of the Yellowstone River.
Right.
A lot of times the Yellowstone River water will flow into the irrigation ditch.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's so that they don't overflow. They keep that, you know, it's like an overflow, like on your sink, almost, you know. They have that hole in your sink when your sink's filling up. It goes, has somewhere for the water to go so it doesn't flood.
Well, actually, they use it for flooding the fields.
Oh, probably. Oh, yeah, probably for their crops and stuff and for hay and alfalfa and things like that.
There's different ways. They like to use, like, canvas, or not canvas, but, what's that cover that they use on trucks?
Canvas. That's not canvas. Not tarps. It's canvas.
They use tarps.
Oh, then tarps.
They get a 2x4 and a tarp, and they nail the tarp onto the 2x4, and they put it across the irrigation ditch. It's one way. Another way, they make mud dams, which is a pain in the butt.
They have really big bioduct type drainage in Yakima. They're huge. Huge.
Yeah. And one of the most harder things to do is hunting for animals.
Yeah, that would be hard. Spearing them and things like that and using their own, making your own bow and arrows, that would be really hard.
I've had guys tell me, so I could probably spear a grizzly.
I don't think so.
That's why I am. He'd be another macho man.
He's probably not around anymore, is he?
Probably won't be if he tried.
Yeah, more than likely.
Now, I have speared small game before.
Well, that's good.
But cool. They was up close.
Yeah. Well, then they sneak up on you, just kind of, everything's there.
Yeah. And that theory about putting salt on the bird's tail, that doesn't work.
You got close enough to a bird to put salt on his tail?
No, but I saw someone try it before.
That's so stupid. Oh, my God.
I wish I had a video camera back then, because video camera back in was like $4,000 new.
Oh, wow.
And we was in junior high. Yeah, junior high. And we had this one boy we'd take out camping all the time. He was kind of like a greenhorn.
Yeah. A greenhorn, that's anybody that's new is somewhere, it's called a greenhorn.
And the greenhorn, we always like to do things like mess with them. And we was trying to have him catch a crow with a salt shaker.
You guys are horrible. You're going to have to eat that crow later, you know.
I wonder if crow tastes good. I never ate one.
I don't think so. I think that's why they said, oh, well, you can go ahead and eat crow. And that means, like, you're wrong, you know. And you need to apologize when they say eat crow, you know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about actually eating one.
No, it's a slang for when someone tells you to go eat crow, that means choke on your own lies and, you know, your own crap.
I bet a crow looks like
it probably looks like a little tiny game hen, like a Cornish game hen or something.
A deformed one.
Yeah. It's a big long neck.
Like big old turkey. Long neck and kind of a skinny body and probably has fungus growing on somewhere.
Like a turkey. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Well, turkeys are more cleaner.
Yeah, but they have long necks like a turkey. They're really long, you know.
What, crows?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a crow's neck. Their neck is not as long as a turkey.
No, but I'm talking about the little tiny body with a big long neck. Like, it'd be like a Cornish game hen with a long neck.
Oh, okay. I thought you was getting kind of confused there for a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
You do that a lot
sometimes. Shut your cake hole, darling.
Oh, yeah, that's enough about the crow.
Yeah, he's going to go eat crow now.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go out there and go, caw, 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 and run out there and throw salt on him. Okay, another important thing you might want to do out in the wilderness survival is a fire.
Better bring some waterproof matches.
Well, what happens if you run out of the matches?
You use a stick. You put, like, you get a stick that's dry and get another stick and you put, you know, you make a good point, whittle like a good point on it and you put it in there and then you get some really dry, like dry, either like moss or they have like stuff on trees that's, you know, really dry bark and you use that to, and you put your hands around the stick and go really fast.
Pine cones are good for that too.
And then blowing on it until it gets some embers on it, and then you can just keep going, and then a lot of times you can get it to go.
I bet you if you blow on it, probably go out in a hurry.
I think you blow more hot air than I do. Thank you very much.
Probably so.
Yes.
Yeah, pine cones that work for that part too, for like making the fire tender. Make a little bow that you use to wrap around the twigs, and you run it back and forth. And they also cause friction, too.
Right. As long as you have, like, a kindling type or really dry. You can even get, like, a kindling type, like, thin, slim. You can make thin slices off dry sticks and then kind of split it into tiny little pieces. Also, that works for good kindling, you know, to get it going.
I was in a winter survival course when I was in Silver Air Patrol. I was a second lieutenant radio officer.
I only did survival in sixth grade camp.
Well, we had to start a fire with one match.
Oh my gosh, wow, that's hard.
I did it.
Well, that's good. You do a lot of things. You do a lot of stuff. It's pretty cool.
I went out and got that tender, like you said, and got some dry sticks. Well, it was in winter time, so everything was pretty well dry. And I cut little tiny slabs of bark and everything else, put them in a little pile, and, you know, and just made the pile bigger, 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 bigger. And I threw the match in there one time, and it just lit.
That's good.
And that woman who was our survival instructor looked at me and said, well, that's not in the manual. I said, out here in the wild, the manual's only good for two different things, fire starter and toilet paper. And I said, no, hand me the manual.
Yeah, oh,
she said, okay, you're passed.
Yeah, I bet. She didn't probably want to comment on that one.
I'm walking around camp wearing a flannel shirt. Of course, I had a T-shirt underneath of it, and I was wearing camouflage pants and boots and things. And it was in the 20s. She kept telling me, put your coat on. I said, why? I don't need it.
Wow.
And she actually went to our commander and told her what I did.
And got you in trouble.
No, he just laughed because he knows what kind of person I am.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There you go.
He knows what he's talking about. Well, I did good. A lot of things in that camp that they didn't have in the manual.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, I said,
well,
I could.
Because the manual's for basic survival, not like Rambo type stuff like you do.
Well, yeah. I haven't jumped out of a tree after a boar yet either, like I did on that movie.
Wow.
But you can do that if you had a spear.
Wow.
I know some people actually does that, but I never tried.
What, Naked and Afraid? That movie is, or that show on TV is ridiculous.
I don't even watch it. I'm like, man, this is like the disgrace to survival.
I saw it a couple times and was just like, wow, really? This is really funny. This is ridiculous. It's crazy what people will do for money these days.
That's true. Yeah, I wouldn't do it if they paid me.
No, not they, like that. They have to pay me in some tropical place where there's bugs that bite you and vicious animals, and I mean that are meat eaters and venomous snakes and spiders, and you're just there, drop you off in the middle of nowhere for 21 days. That is just crazy. Crazy. Crazy.
I bet they eat behind the camera.
I don't think so. You should see the weight loss on these people. It's pretty bad. I mean, they go from their healthiest heck, they leave all just all bit, scabbed up, sucked up. It's not good. A lot of them get a lot of those like tropical diseases like malaria. And there were some people in there that were so sick, and one of them almost died. I mean, they got bit by a snake that about killed them. They had to airlift them out of there. I mean, one of them got from the water, they got some type of disease that had a parasite that almost killed them. I mean, it's bad. It's real bad. And some of them don't make it.
Yeah, that's one thing. You got to boil your water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even out in the springs, like, you know, you get these springs come out of the ground. I boil the water anyway, just be on the safe side.
Right, right. Boil it and let it sit overnight and, you know, cover it somehow. Let it sit overnight and then it's good to eat, good to drink, you know. But you can't just drink it because it's tropical. I mean, there's so many different parasites and diseases and bacteria and, oh my gosh, yuck.
I get it to the boiling point and let it boil for about 5 minutes. Then I take it off the fire and let it cool down, then I pour it in the canteens and let it sit overnight to cool down.
There you go. That's a good idea. I put on the canteens, I wrap like a, I'll wrap something around it and so that I can stake it into the river or whatever so it stays really cold. Make a little dam out of rocks and then put it right in that little hole in the river so it stays nice and cool.
I've actually drank out of just the regular stream.
Oh, me too. Well, that's running water. If it's constant running, you can drink it. But if it's stagnant water that's just bellowing out barely, you don't want to drink that.
I have.
Rivers and streams and things that keep going,
fine. I went to one place and spent a couple weeks, and they had a stream there. And I actually got the water out of the stream. I boiled it like I said I was going to. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect. I never got sick or anything off
that's
of it.
That's good. That's good.
And people looked at me back home like I was some kind of a weirdo.
Well, you know, when I went to Mexico, I didn't drink the water. They told me not to drink the water. So I didn't. But I ate and drank at a bar that was, and the glasses were washed in the dishwasher, and I ended up getting the Montezuma's Revenge for 5 days, man. I was so sick. I had to drink only tea with honey in it, bananas, and dry toast for 5 days. That's it.
Oh, wow. That would drive me nuts.
It was so bad. It was so bad. Sitting on the toilet with the garbage can in your hands. I mean, and then you got to walk to the pharmacy and buy tetracycline right over the counter to take an antibiotic while you're on this thing. It's horrible.
So in other words, you had it coming out both ends.
Yes, both ends. If I was throwing up, I was on the toilet. Let's put it that way.
Yeehaw! It is time for some news. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is taking public comment, environmental assessment concerning the proposal of reintroducing bighorn sheep to the Little Belt Mountains in central Montana. I think that would be something really exciting. That's close by here. I wouldn't have to drive all the way to Garden to shoot wildlife photos for them. Historically, the bighorn sheep were common in the mountain range, but was extirpated by the early 20th century. However, the range still contains extremely high quality of habitat. A small number of bighorn sheep have existed and expanded the mountain range since 2015. FWP proposal will reintroduce the sheep to the Little Belt following the guidelines of 2010 Montana Bighorn Sheep Conservation Strategy. Intent of the reintroduction is to establish a self-sustained, geographically divided herd. To comment on the draft EA, go to online fwp.mt/news/public-notices. Public comments will be accepted through August the 3rd. Written comments can be submitted to FWP P.O. Box 527, White Sulphur Springs, Montana, 59645, or email, lowercase letters, jkolbe@mt.gov.
The Private Land Public Wildlife Advisory Committee will meet Monday and Tuesday, July 13th and 14th, using the video conferencing platform Zoom. The council will meet from 1 to 5 p.m. Monday and from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Tuesday, 14th. A time for public comment has been set for 4 p.m. on Monday and noon on Tuesday. During the meeting, councilmen will review public access land agreement applications and proposals to make a recommendation to the department. The department will consider the recommendations when issuing agreements. They will also hear representation about a wildlife movement and migration and revisited their other work plan topics by their January meeting. To help achieve program goals and maintaining good relations between hunters and landowners. Details on how to access the meeting will be posted on fwp.montana.gov closer to the meeting date. For more information about the PL or PW Advisory Committee, including the July meeting agenda, visit fwp.montana.gov/hunting/hunter.access/PLPW/or contact Jason Cool, Hunting Access Bureau Chief, by phone at 406-444-2505 or by email to jason.cool@montana.gov.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is taking public comments on the environmental assessment regarding the construction of a primitive boat ramp at the Little Muddy Creek fishing access site. I wonder what they mean by primitive. I don't know if they have dugout canoes there and have flat bottom boats or what.
I have no idea. They make them out of tree, out of big old logs, and carve them out themselves.
The boat ramp is proposed for the lower proportion of the Little Muddy Creek and would allow access small boats such as rafts, drift boats, canoes, and kayaks to the Missouri River. For more information on the proposal or comment, please go to the FWP website at fwp.mt.gov/news/public-notice. The public review and comments period will be available July 2nd through August the 8th, 2020. Written comments should be delivered to the following address: Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Little Muddy Creek, FAS, Boat Ramp Comments, 4600 Giant Spring Road, Great Falls, Montana, 59405. Comments online or send comments to fwpr4publiccom@mt.gov.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks captured a grizzly bear after it got into unsecured attractants at a house and campgrounds near West Yellowstone last week.
Hey, boo-boo.
It gained access to an unsecured garbage can at a house on Wednesday. Repeated visits to the Rainbow Point campground got into a cooler as food and garbage from the back of the pickup truck. And it toppled the tent and then climbed into an unoccupied vehicle at the campground.
That'd be a heck of a sight. Walking in, you're getting in your car, and there's a and Boo Boo and Yogi sitting in the back seat.
That'd be actually kind of cool if it was Yogi and Boo Boo, but it's not.
I'm not talking about those kind. I'm talking about the Yogi and Boo Boos around West Yellowstone.
Okay, yeah, they're a little more vicious than those two.
Yeah.
The U.S. Forest Service closed the campground on Friday. The FWP successfully trapped the bear later that evening. Unsecured attractions such as food and garbage can lead to property damage and human safety risks. Relocating and releasing bears that have associated human activity with access to food usually leads to further conflicts, and the bears in these situations can't be rehabilitated, so they often must be euthanized. However, the 5 to 6 year old male grizzly bear captured at Rainbow Point last week has been transferred permanently to the Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center in West Yellowstone. That's good. I'm glad. Keep bears in the wild by following Forest Service food storage orders, which are in effect every year from March 1st to December 1st, in the following ways. In hard-sided vehicles, in certified bear-resistant containers, hung at least 10 feet above the ground and 4 feet away from a tree or pole out of the reach of wildlife, placed within a fenced area that meets the Integrity Grizzly Bear Committee regulations for approved bear-resistant products. People who do not comply with these orders can be issued a violation and held civilly liable for any damages that occur from non-compliance. Deliberately feeding wildlife is also illegal in Montana. Grizzly bears in the lower 48 states are currently listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Management authorities for grizzliness rests with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, working closely in Montana with the FWP, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services, the Forest Service, and Tribal Lands. This collaboration happens through the Integrity Grizzly Bear Committee. So there that is.
So they're saying it's endangered?
Yeah, they're saying that this type of grizzly is on the endangered species list with the act, yes.
And with all these attacks and everybody getting raided and stuff, I think it's a bunch of horse. Come on, people. We need a hunting season on them.
Oh, my gosh. No way. That's horrible.
If you're with an outdoor organization like to share some news, or want to brag about a hunting and fishing trip you was on, or just want to ramble on something about hunting and fishing, please email me at hawsoutdoors@treasurestateradio.com. That's all the time we have, folks. Thank you for listening in. This is Goofy Charles Hawes, and Treasure State Radio saying so long and be safe out there.